Diary, November to December. Wellington, New Zealand, November 20th to December 19th, 1893. Wellington. We took a hasty dinner, and at 2:30 p.m. stepped on the train that would take us to Palmerston. Here we changed cars. At the depot, we met Brother Everston and wife, Sister Harris, and Sister Codling. Brother Everston gave us needed assistance to get our things on the train. We arrived in Wellington at 10 minutes to 10 o'clock. We found Willie and Brother Simpson awaiting us at the station, and we took the hack for our hired rooms. Here were Sister Tuxford and Sister Wilson ready to welcome us. We did not get to rest until about midnight. I slept well until morning. On this journey, I have realized the special power of God come to me in such manifestation that I know that I have realized the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Some things to come in here, how I managed to get to the baptism over the large round logs. Wellington. The wind is blowing and the dust is flying, penetrating everywhere. I walked out with Willie on the campground. If the Lord favors us in withholding high winds and rains, we shall consider we have a most convenient location for campground. Should winds arise and blow strongly, our tents would most certainly suffer. But our earnest prayer is that this encampment may have the favor of God. The winds and fountains of waters are in His hands, under His control. The cause in which we labor is sacred. It is His cause. He can advance the work to His own name's glory in this wicked city. The truth has as yet found no entrance, no welcome. It is a hard place to labor, but the Lord has many precious souls in this city. The message we have to bear is from Him, and souls must hear it and make their decisions, whether they will obey the truth or choose the darkness of error and satanic falsehoods. I walked up to the mission and dined with Sister Tuxford and her mother. We stitched quite a number of Elder Starr's pamphlets for distribution. Met here Sister Israel and Nina, who has worked for us. I found the walk back was taxing to my afflicted, suffering hip and lame ankles. I am admonished that it is not much walking I can indulge in after being unable to walk for 11 months. I feel this a great privation, but I am thankful that I can walk at all after 1 year's continual suffering and inability to exercise my limbs because of inflammatory rheumatism. I am now able to step and walk a short distance with nearly my usual activity. The Lord is good, so merciful to me, full of loving kindness and tender pity. I will praise the Lord with heart and soul and voice. The Lord has been my front guard and my rearward. I have had such rich blessings during my affliction. As I would venture to walk out by faith and trust in the Lord, His Holy Spirit has given me the words to speak from His own word, and has blessed me and those who were listening. I felt the deep moving of the Holy Spirit. Angels seemed to strengthen me in a most decided manner. The people were blessed, and I have reason to bless the Lord for the conversions at that meeting. Souls were saved. I could not have endured the pain of standing, but it was removed by His healing grace. I was free from pain, and my mind was clear, and the grace of God was upon me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. Wellington. I awoke about 2 o'clock a.m., almost breathless. My pulse was apparently almost gone. I was able to move out of my bed, but was obliged to wake Emily, who came to my assistance, doing what she could to revive and strengthen me. I had not much air as usual, but such effect it has had upon me is indeed dangerous. I thank the Lord it is as well with me as it is. There is not much bracing in the atmosphere, and the heart action is very feeble. There is sleet and gentle mist or light rain this morning. The wind has ceased to blow. It has been a trying day for me. Dared not exercise much. My strength has been to sit still. November 23, 1893. Wellington. The morning is very pleasant and the sun is shining. There is scarcely any wind. Oh, we pray to the Lord for Him to bless and lead and guide us all in this meeting. I ask the Lord to give us special victories. I feel my entire dependence upon God. Without His special help, I can do nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ is my sufficiency. If God be for us, He is more than all they that can be against us. In Him I trust. I hang my helpless soul on Thee, O my God. God has given me a special part to act in His cause, and He will give me all needed grace to do this work, speaking plainly, yet having the gentleness of Christ. Many are weak because they do not grow up in faith in Jesus, their living head. They are full of frailties and infirmities of religious experience. Oh, that they would be able to comprehend that they may become apt scholars in the school of Christ by living on the plan of addition. 2 Peter chapter 1. Come is the invitation from our Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. When sick physically, sick mentally, because you have not placed yourself in the school of Christ to learn the precious lessons of the great teacher. Many go unhappy and distressed all through their lives, crippling their way along, making crooked paths, carrying their heavy burdens in fretful murmuring and complaining of the hardness of the way, discontented and grumbling, gloomy and desponding and generally miserable, poor and blind, wretched and naked, yet withal self-conceited. Do you not believe the words of Jesus? He has given you a full, free invitation. Come unto me. Go just as you are. No human being is capable of relieving your griefs, your burden, your load. Come unto me, saith Christ, and ye shall find rest. Take off from your neck that manufactured yoke of perplexities and care and burden. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Verses 28-30. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise His holy name. We have a burden-bearer who is fully able to take the burdens and griefs and perplexities and worries of the whole world. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 29-31. Praise the Lord. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Isaiah 50, verse 10. If they heed these words, they will become strong, able-bodied Christians, useful, apt, of good courage, of good report from those from without. Wellington. I awoke this morning thanking the Lord for rest and sleep. Last night about dark, the landlady, Mrs. Neal, was taken violently ill. Emily tried to help her and relieve her sufferings. We sent to the campground for Sister Wilson and Dr. Merritt Kellogg, who came upon the ground his day from Hastings. We did all that we could for her. Her head was in an agony of pain, and simple means were used with beneficial results, and she slept. The youngest member of the family, a lad of 6 years, has had whooping cough and has been in a precarious condition because of weak lungs, brought on through mismanagement. The father has died within 2 weeks with consumption, and the child was allowed for some length of time to sleep with the father. Oh, why will not people learn wisdom and not pursue a course that must bring to loved ones suffering, disease, and death? We have been the means of alleviating the sufferings of the child. The mother is exhausted with care and privation and sorrow. Her husband died as he had lived, without God or hope in the world. He had consumed all the property they once possessed in gambling, and the mother is left with 6 children, destitute. 2 of her oldest girls are in service, and this must be the dependence of the family. We secured these rooms, paying £1 per week during the 3 weeks meeting. The poor woman has had deep sorrow. She is a member of the state church, and her pastor has deeply hurt her soul by his coldness and want of tender sympathy for her in her affliction. Oh, that she may be assisted to see that Jesus, her Savior, loves her and is full of compassion and tender, pitying love for the sorrowing and heavy-laden. His voice of invitation is to her, "Come unto me, saith Christ, for I will give you rest. I will bind up the brokenhearted and give joy to the sad and afflicted." We are glad we can be the means of helping to lift up the sorrowing and bowed down. This family may see the truth and be converted, mother and children. God is gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. The weary and heavy-laden find in Him rest, peace, and consolation. Oh, that we may see the salvation of God in this house. Oh, that this family might be saved to Jesus Christ. We assembled at 8 o'clock in the dining tent for morning prayer. The scriptures were read, then prayer was offered, then all engaged in work. There will have to be most diligent efforts to prepare the ground and fit the large tents with seats before the Sabbath. The day is pleasant. Thank the Lord for rich favor in granting us favorable weather, in which work may be done in the 6 days, preparatory to resting on the 7th day, Sabbath. Our meeting opened the evening of Friday. It has taken considerable time to pitch tents and prepare the ground for the tents. This is quite a display for this city. Large numbers are called out from curiosity to see what is going on, and the work of pitching the tents is as an advertising sheet. Elder Wilson gave an excellent discourse. This camp meeting may be called a baby camp meeting in comparison with our camp meetings in America. Our first camp meeting in New Zealand was held in Napier, and it was a success. We found that there was no way to get out the people but to have a camp meeting in Wellington. God grant that something may stir the people from their slumbers. Satan is inventing horse racing, games, theaters, card playing, gambling, and all kinds of exciting amusements, so the day of God shall come upon them unawares. Saturday meetings commenced in the forenoon. W.C. White gave a very solemn discourse in regard to the signs of the times. Mrs. White, his mother, spoke in the afternoon from John 21, verse 1 to 13. A very solemn impression was made upon the people, both forenoon and afternoon. After the discourse, there was 1 hour devoted to social meeting. Many good testimonies were born. Not many outsiders were present. In the evening, Dr. Kellogg spoke upon the Gospel Commission. Not many outsiders were present. Acts 1, whole chapter, and chapter 2. There were more attended the morning meeting than we expected. I spoke to them from Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We had several good testimonies from our brethren and sisters. Monday spoke upon 1 Peter 1, 1-5. This whole chapter should be given. Tuesday morning spoke upon the words of Hebrews 11, upon faith, verses 1-6, a very impressive chapter. Did not have opportunity to give the full discourse. Attended morning meeting. Bore testimony. Friday spoke in the morning meeting. The blessing of the Lord was upon me. Sabbath spoke in afternoon to the people assembled under the tent from Isaiah 58. Sunday spoke to a crowded tent of people from 1 John 3. This is a most powerful and appropriate discourse. I have not time to give particulars in diary. I am not feeling as well as usual, but much exhausted. Had a few minutes conversation with Elder Olson to profit, but cannot write particulars of the discourse. May in future. This morning my heart is weak and the enemy is strong to cast his shadow of darkness about my soul. I find peace and rest in Jesus Christ and in looking unto Jesus. He is indeed all I desire. I take him as my personal Savior this morning, and the brightness of his presence, the sense of his love, chases away the clouds and shadows of darkness. Light, precious light, shines to me from the Lord in his promises. The promises to me are not uplifting unless I can recognize my Savior as back of the promises. It is the faithfulness and the strength and the love of Jesus Christ that make these promises a sufficiency and brightness and power to me. I praise His holy name this morning, for I can say from my heart and with my voice, "The Lord is good and greatly to be praised." I have been wrestling with a great physical evil. The gas which supplied the tent with light has poisoned the atmosphere that I breathe. My heart has been weak, and exhaustion has come upon me now. I have been suffering under the effects which have been deleterious to me. These are some of the evils I have had to contend with in traveling and laboring, but the Lord has been very merciful and has spared my life. I know that He keeps His promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. I love Him with my whole heart. Attended the morning meeting and talked a short time and addressed myself especially to the youth. Sister Brown spoke. I then addressed a few words to her, and the Lord let His Holy Spirit come into our meeting in a decided manner. Elder Olson gave the Bible lesson at 3 o'clock, and it was very profitable for the church. He spoke upon the gifts set in the church for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, etc. We have had a very disagreeable rainy day, accompanied with high winds, but the Lord manifests Himself to us in decided blessings. We believe this meeting is a great blessing to the people, and we will be thankful, and we will make music in our hearts by praising the Lord. We are not half awake to His righteousness, His loving kindness. His love is manifested every day. And what a great privilege to have the assurance that Christ is my physician, not only of the soul, but of the body. He sustains me in my many infirmities. He fills my heart with gratitude and with thanksgiving. I will be joyful in God. I will praise His holy name. December 6th, 1893, Wellington. Must leave this history for future opportunity. The wind is not blowing this morning, but it is cloudy and showery. Our meeting is drawing near the close, and we are thankful for the excellent tokens of good. We have seen one young lady from Auckland, a primitive Methodist, who has taken her position for the truth. A promising young man has also taken his stand for the truth. We feel grateful for this. Wellington is an important center, and we wish to see the people aroused and determined to search the Scriptures for themselves, to see if the message we bring them is not the truth. Attended morning meeting. Elder Olson spoke with much clearness and with power. Some testimonies were born, good to hear. Although the heavy rain was falling upon the tent, yet the blessing of the Lord was with us. I was drawn out to speak upon 1 John, chapter 3. Showing the linking closely together of the love to God and the love to our brethren. The great principles of the law are expressed in these two great precepts: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How very precious are these principles, which express the love of God in life and in character in our treatment of our fellow men. We assembled in Elder Israel's tent for a minister's meeting. We had a season of prayer. Then Elder Olson presented the subject of organization. Questions were asked as to what were considered as proper tests to be presented before accepting individuals in the church. Most precious remarks were brought out, and we think all understand better the matter as to questions proper to put to those who shall be presented as fit subjects for the church. This brought us to past 10 o'clock. Sisters Israel and Brown called on me for some conversation. Sister Brown leaves tomorrow morning for home and sends back Belle, Victoria, and Charlotte. I have great interest in this afflicted family, but the Lord loves them, and the affliction will keep them humble. On the steamer Wairarapa, the wind is increasing until it blows a gale. I do not venture upon the deck. I feel glad to keep still. All are more or less affected. Elder Olson is decidedly sick. Emily, is on deck lying down. The wind blows, the waves run high, the white-capped billows reach far, far as the eye can reach, restlessly moving, tossing, mounting up mountain high, splashing over the deck. Willie thought it best for me to go up on deck. He lashed my chair in what was supposed to be a sheltered place. Three men were sitting very near me who were splashed with the waves of the sea. Willie made another move to get in the center of the ship and lie down on the long bench for a time, but the wind had worked the waters into a perfect fury. I was lifting my heart to God for Christ, who stilled the tempest, to say, "Peace, be still." Mark 4, verse 39. All at once the rainbow spanned the heavens. I could see the signs of God's promise in the bow in the clouds, and I was resting in confidence in His protecting arms. It was difficult to get down to the ladies' saloon. I clung to Willie, but the wind would not let us advance. A gentleman came to his help. Once below, I was quite sick and vomited most earnestly and felt better. I could not eat Monday or Tuesday. We had a much more pleasant night than we feared we should have. Slept much better than we feared. The remaining paragraphs appear to be describing events during their earlier short stop in Napier, New Zealand, December 14, 1893. How terrible it seems to be on a boat like this, while its managers are apparently full of carousing and of sport, and drinking, smoking, and swearing are so abundant. The lady-in-waiting is very kind to me. I gave her Steps to Christ and some papers and pamphlets. I talked with her in regard to her soul's salvation. I pointed out the perils of anyone whose life was on the sea. She said she had thought of this oft-times, but she said, "If I could, I would be a Christian, but I cannot. It would be an impossibility to serve God on such a vessel as this. You do not know, you cannot have any idea of the wickedness of these sailors. The captain and mates are so closely of the same character with the crew of sailors that they have no influence to introduce reform, if they desired such a thing." I asked why she did not seek some other employment. She said, "It would be no use. I have four children to support, and I have not strength to do hard work." She was a small, delicate, fine-featured woman. I earned more here on this ship than I could obtain in any other employment. I tried to open before her the danger of living a prayerless life. She said, "It is no use to pray here, or try to be religious." I told her if the Lord had appointed her that place, she would, if she would accept Christ as her Savior, realize Christ as her refuge. She said, with tears in her eyes, "It is impossible. I know the company on this ship. I could not live religion here. I hope sometime to have some place open for me where I can support my family, and then I shall give my attention to serious things. If I could only be with my children and support them in a humble way, I would only too gladly choose to do so." We were anchored some distance from Napier. Elder Olson and Willie White were on board, with Emily Campbell and me. There was a small steamer going from the ship to shore, and we, all of our party, decided to go and spend a few hours while the ship was waiting in the harbor. We had some hours before the ship would unload her passengers and take aboard other passengers. Elder Olson and Willie stepped on board the small boat, and through some misunderstanding went off before we stepped aboard. Emily felt much disappointed. I never saw her so unbalanced. She cried heartily, and I felt so sorry on her account. The mate entered into conversation with her and told her that the boat would come to the steamer again before it went to the wharf. Then he said much the same as the stewardess had said in regard to the wickedness of the sailors and the crew. He said, "I have been much impressed that this boat will go down with all hands on board ere long. I have felt so strongly exercised that I shall not, if I can possibly disconnect from it, continue to remain on the boat." Comments added by Ellen White. "This nice boat went down, sunk with all on board with the exception of two, in a few weeks after this. The mate was one that was saved. The stewardess nurse was advertised as among the list of the lost. Records indicate that the ship wrecked about 10 months later on October 29, 1894, with the loss of about 130 of its 250 passengers and crew. When I see, as I do on this boat, such disregard for God and for anything serious, I ask myself, what can be done? Brother Olson has had opportunity to speak to them in the social hall. Many were present and listened, but a feeling of hopelessness comes over him that it will do no good. But if ever poor souls needed to be worked for and labored for, it is such a party as is found on the steamers. But then we see the influences upon land, as soon as the sailors leave the ship for a few hours' delay. There are saloons all ready to catch souls, and the nets and snares are ready for those who remain maybe a week or more. What is to be hoped for this class? My heart aches.